if you're going to a Lutheran church, you should be hearing the name of Jesus more than the name of Martin Luther.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of the book Being Lutheran.
And I think that's really what Martin Luther would want. He made it quite clear that this faith is not to be based on him, but is to be based on Christ alone.
You can purchase Being Lutheran at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Being Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. How do you argue with this? I mean, you got a preacher there. He is got a church that is big and growing, and when he gets in the pulpit or on the stage, as the case may be, he's got his Bible open. He is reading extensively from the Bible. He's even quoting the Old Testament. What's wrong with this? How could it possibly be wrong for a pastor there to read the Bible, to quote the Bible? And since his church is growing, something must be right about it. That's kind of the logic that has led to the kind of preaching we're going to be talking about during our conversation with Pastor Chris Roseborough this week in Pop American Christianity, to be adopted by so very many preachers and congregations. We're just going to call it narcissistic hijacking of Bible stories on This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. He is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We've criticized this kind of stuff before, and you're going to do it again today. Here's David Hughes, a megachurch pastor. How could he possibly be wrong to do what we're going to hear him doing today? He's quoting the Bible, and after all, his church is big and getting bigger.
Well, that's a great question. Number one, the question is he rightly handling God's word? Scripture says of pastors that they need to study and show themselves approved as workmen who need not blush with embarrassment, who can rightly divide the word of truth. Just because somebody can quote the Bible doesn't mean that they're actually saying what the Bible says. And the other part of it is that growth does not always indicate whether or not a church is being blessed by God. I would point to the fact that Islam is a fast and rapidly growing religion. Are we to say, well, that must be blessed by God because it's growing? So the issue is, as Christians, growth, or simply quoting the Bible, does not necessarily prove that somebody's actually correctly teaching God's word, or that their growth is real growth in the sense that we're seeing penitent believers being brought to faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins.
Let's kind of at least get our bearings here. Would you introduce us to David Hughes?
Sure. David Hughes is the vision casting leader of Church by the Glades in South Florida. They're a multi-site, seeker-driven organization, and he's one of the teaching pastors as well as the visionary leader there.
All right. So what are we going to hear from him first here, Chris?
All right. Well, we're going to be listening to him setting up the problem that he's going to address in the message that we're going to hear parts of. And the idea is, think of it this way, is oftentimes, in fact, most times, sermons are going to address a problem that we are facing. Usually that problem needs to come up through the text, and that's where the law would come in. But listen to the setup as to what the problem is that apparently the Bible is going to address, according to David Hughes.
On your life's journey, if something happens where everything goes sideways or you're derailed, if you feel like in life that you thought at a certain age you'd be at this point in life, but you've hit that age, but you're at this point in life and you feel like your life has taken this sad detour, when that happens and you feel like, and I don't mean like a detour delay for weeks, or I mean for months or years. When that happens to you and you feel like you're stuck, when you feel like you're not making progress, when you feel like your life's not turned out the way that you dreamt when you were younger, man, that's problematic. That is an issue. And it happens to a lot of good, smart, faith-filled people. Your life just hits a snag. Maybe someone made a decision that adversely affected you, or maybe you just caught a bad break, or maybe you made a few decisions that you regret, and all of a sudden you feel like you're stuck and your life is in this holding pattern. That's tough. Because in that context, we get discouraged, we get disappointed. Sometimes we do dysfunctional things, sometimes make decisions that are dumb, even dangerous. So if you find yourself in that stuck season of life, your life is in a holding pattern, and you're waiting for something to happen, or you thought when you were young you'd be here, but you're not here, you're somewhere else. This talk is for you.
So what's the problem he's diagnosing there? I mean, that could describe just about anybody who's hit midlife.
Yeah, it can. And the issue is that he thinks that this is a problem. Let me give you an example. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. I wanted to fly F-18s for the Navy off of aircraft carriers. And here I am. I'm almost 50, and I have yet to log a single hour of flight time in any kind of an aircraft. And so the issue is, should I see this as a problem? You know, I had this dream for myself, and now I'm not even anywhere close to dealing with that or achieving it. Should I think that this is a problem that Christianity is going to address and that the Bible has an answer to? This is getting really dicey, because the assumption here is that whatever you dreamed about your life must have been from God. Think the dream destiny thingy doctrine that we've talked about in previous episodes of Issues, etc., and that somehow your life is about achieving the dreams of your heart, and that Christianity and the Bible ultimately are giving you tips, tricks, or insights, or encouragement in fulfilling that. It's a total misreading of Scripture, and nowhere is there a great doctrine in any of the systematic theologies or dogmatic texts that I've read, the doctrine of how to get unstuck on your way to achieving your purpose or your dream destiny. So we're off really on the wrong foot altogether right now with his approach to the sermon.
And real quickly, in fact, there is in fact a rather clear teaching from the Apostle Paul about contentment with godliness, that really we do not set before ourselves realistic or unrealistic standards for contentment. But in fact, contentment should be regardless of our current circumstances.
No, and that's true. And then the other thing is that this seems to overlook the idea that our good works are done in vocation, in serving our neighbors. And so, you know, you take a doctrine like he's teaching right here and apply it to a person who is a slave. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, doesn't say, you slaves, you know, you feel like you're stuck right now in your career. Don't worry, God's going to advance you and you're going to get, you know, beyond being slaves. No, instead, Paul says, slaves, obey your masters. And here's the best part. Those are good works that God rewards and honors and sees them as good works. So even somebody whose career path is going as nowhere as being a slave goes nowhere, that person is doing good works, and Christ recognizes those works done even as a slave as good works being done in a vocation.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear a couple more things from David Hughes. Examples of narcissistic hijacking of Bible stories. Pastor Chris Roseborough hosts that daily show called Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. We'll be right back.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
What would you say if someone asked you to explain the Trinity? Would you begin with Scripture, the creeds, or some clever analogy? And how are Christ and the gospel at the center of this fundamental Christian teaching? Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Beckwith has written a new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series. It's titled The Holy Trinity. You can save $5 by pre-ordering The Holy Trinity at logia.org, logia.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, Etc., as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues Etc. is listener supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon. We usually do this on Fridays, but we're doing it on this Wednesday. This Week in Pop American Christianity, talking about narcissistic hijacking of Bible stories. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. What's next here from megachurch pastor David Hughes?
Well, now David is going to go into the Bible to see if he can find a guy that experienced being stuck while on the journey of trying to achieve his dream destiny. And he thinks he finds that in Moses.
And you're in good company, because I can show you some of the best and brightest, most effective and accomplished people for God that went through a prolonged season of delay. Let me pick one example for you, and there are many in the Bible, but if you will turn to Exodus chapter 3. So turn there in your Bible, turn on your smartphone, find that app, Exodus chapter 3, and here's one of the heavyweights of the Bible. And this guy has a long season of this delay. He's stuck. Moses. Now, Moses, he's famous. I would argue most famous person in the Old Testament. Moses, very effective, used by God, great leader, iconic personality, but he had a long time in his life. If you could sit down and sip Starbucks with Moses, he would go, man, I'm just stuck. I thought my life would be here, but sadly my life is over here and I'm just stuck. My life has had this terrible detour and God will never use me in any kind of significant way. Moses. Now, if you're even a neophyte to the Bible, you know the basics probably of the story of Moses. Like, I would argue the most famous call into ministry in history was when God called Moses. That's found in Exodus chapter 3. Y'all know the story, right? You know the basics is the whole burning bush thing where God appears to Moses. He's a shepherd at the time in the form of a bush that is burning, but it's not being consumed. And so Moses goes out to see what this thing is. He's never seen anything like this before. And all of a sudden the voice of God emanates from the bush, you know, and God says, I am the Lord your God. Take off your Reeboks for you stand on holy ground. And like, he's, oh, wow, God's talking to me. This is phenomenal. And then God says, Moses, I've heard about the cry and the plight of your people in Israel. And I want to deliver them. So I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you will set the people free.
All right, Chris, what is he setting us up for here?
Well, the idea now is that he's not really reading the biblical text. And this is where the narcissistic hijacking is taking place. This is a pivotal text in the Old Testament, in the Bible itself. I mean, the great story of God through a mighty outstretched arm rescuing his people from slavery. I mean, it gives an actual wonderful typological picture of what Christ has done for us who were born dead in trespasses and sins. And rather than read the story and let the text actually tell us what's going on, what David Hughes is doing is he's referencing the story but retelling it now according to the problem that he has set up. So that when somebody reads this text, they're not seeing it as the text that's telling the story of how God has delivered people. Instead, they'll read this story as, oh, this is the text that has to do with how Moses was delayed in on his journey to achieving his dream destiny. And that's like totally missing the point and changing what the text is about altogether.
So, I mean, we could go so far as to say he's basically taking our kind of 21st century existential angst and reading it back into Moses. I don't see Moses like sitting there in the Midian desert just, oh man, I'm stuck. My life's stuck. Here I am shepherding these sheep for my father-in-law. I wish a burning bush would come along. I don't see any of that in there.
Yeah, no, not only do you see that, but here's kind of the thorny issue. When God finally says, I'm calling you and sending you, Moses doesn't sit there and go, huzzah, finally God's going to use me. Instead, Moses' response is, send someone else. And so the text itself doesn't even support this narrative that he's put over the scriptures. And what the funny thing is that, well, David Hughes recognizes that it doesn't fit. And so in the next soundbite, he comes up with a way of explaining why it is that Moses wasn't jumping at this opportunity now to finally fulfill his purpose and his dream destiny.
Now, Moses, no doubt, thinks this is a great idea. He's like, oh, I've been praying for this. The oppression of the Hebrews, my brothers have been so sad for so long, 400 years, God. I've been praying and hoping that you would send someone to set them free. But you got the wrong guy. Let me show you in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. After God calls to him, it's on the screen, all your campuses. Of course, it's in your Bible. It says, but Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? And who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God, it's a great idea. Man, I'm all into emancipation of 2 million Hebrews. That's phenomenal, but not me. I wonder what he's thinking. Maybe he's excusing himself. He's thinking, no, I've just messed up too much. Maybe when I was young, but now I'm too old. And great idea, but I'm not qualified. My life has taken this detour. My life's in this holding pattern. God, you can't use me. If you're in a similar season, if you feel like you're kind of stuck in life, you're stuck relationally, you're stuck academically, you're maybe stuck professionally or financially, God has you in this place to intersect your reality with his truth. All right? So, and you're probably feeling certain things, certain negative emotions that Moses no doubt felt. So studying this story for the last few weeks, I jotted down some notes. I was trying to put myself in his sandals and think what Moses is thinking about when he's begging off the call of God in Exodus chapter 3. Like I thought this, no doubt he was dealing with doubt. Doubt. When I say three, say the word doubt loudly. Ready? One, two, three.
Doubt.
Yeah, we all battle with doubt. And I think when God called him, he had an issue of doubt. Maybe doubting God, but probably more likely just doubting himself.
Okay, Chris, so where is this all headed?
At a train wreck is where it's heading. It's just a mess. I mean, so now we've got to come up with theories. And so he psychologizes the text in order to explain why Moses wasn't jumping up the opportunity to fulfill his purpose and his dream destiny. And so he's now inserting into this text, you know, another one of those things we talk about eisegesis and narcissistic eisegesis. Well, this is psychological eisegesis, or psycho-Jesus is what we like to call it. And, you know, where he's psychologically sticking stuff in as a way of kind of explaining, you know, things in the text that just aren't there, rather than actually preaching this text. And here's the fun part, is that this story is so much more interesting, so much greater and more compelling than the story that David Hughes is telling by twisting this and making it somehow some kind of parable about your life or metaphor about being stuck in your career. It's so much more comforting and assuring than that. And unfortunately, by hijacking the text in this narcissistic way, the people there at Church by the Glades are not hearing this text. They're not hearing the biblical narrative. And rather than being taught the Word of God, they're just having their heads filled with psychological, self-centered nonsense.
Chris, one final question for you with about 30 seconds here. The big thing he seems to miss here, as you have just intimated, is that the God who finally calls him and appears to him in the burning bush is none other than our Savior, Jesus Christ. He just gets left out of this entirely, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. In fact, in this text, Jesus reveals his name, and Moses asks him, who should I say sent me? And God responds, I am. And this is the name that he says he will be remembered through all generations. And then in the Gospel of John, over and again, in fact, it's in all of the Gospels, but it's really pronounced in the Gospel of John, Jesus uses this divine name for himself. And so, I mean, Jesus is the main character in Exodus 3 in all of Scripture, and by psychologically and narcissistically hijacking and making it about yourself, the person who gets X'd out of the story is Jesus himself. And that's really sad, because we can't save ourselves from our slavery to sin, death, and the devil, and it's Jesus through his mighty outstretched arms on the cross who has set us free from slavery to the ultimate evil God King, and that's the devil himself. And that story gets lost when you make it about you and you don't actually preach the text.
Pastor Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes at piratechristian.com. Piratechristian.com. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
The Issues Etc. book of the month for this month is, in fact, a great answer to what many people can get confused about when it comes to being Lutheran. Some people listen to this show and they say, boy, you guys sound evangelical. Eh? Or others listen at other times and say, you guys sound Catholic. Well, being Lutheran is actually both genuinely evangelical, genuinely Catholic. You can find out more about it in the Issues Etc. book of the month, Being Lutheran. It's at our webpage, on every page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Being Lutheran. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss a meeting between social conservatives and Donald Trump with Terry Mattingly, and we'll find Christ in Psalm 16, You Shall Not Abandon My Soul, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.